Let's bow our hearts. Well, Father, we thank you for this time now. Our hearts are open. We look to you together in faith. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. Each one here, from the youngest to the oldest, to each one, we pray, please minister, speak to our hearts. Teach us something fresh and new for our life and for the church and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are sensing God ministering to us as a church in a special season. Is anyone noticing that? No? Okay, there's two hands. Anyone else? You're noticing that God is ministering to us? If you're not noticing that, you need to tune in, because God is blessing us and ministering, drawing people, speaking to hearts, quickening people to the life of Christ. It's amazing, and I don't take it for granted. I was expecting, honestly, a wave of hands to go up, because I was feeling everyone was sensing it, but really, please, be aware to what God is doing. It's amazing. I'm so deeply thankful for it. And because of that, the message is prayerfully chosen this morning. We're going to speak about a subject which I feel is important for our church in this season of our church family. And I believe for some of you, it may be brand new. For some of you, I think it could be revolutionary for how you think about your Christian life and about church life. So listen carefully and let's let God minister to us. We're going to speak about the church. What is the church? Before we do that, I'm going to read some Bible verses, and perhaps let's stand together. Can we do that? First Corinthians we're going to be in. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, the body is a unit, and it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. This is God's word. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Okay, what is the church? Obviously, it's not the building. We understand that. It may be said that the church is the people, and that's true. But even more than that, it is people who have the Spirit of God in their life, people who have been born again, saved, regenerated. The Bible says in that moment, this God's Spirit comes into your life and remains forever. So we are people, we call ourselves Christians. It is not just a label for our externals, but it indicates what has truly taken place in our life, that Christ has become our Savior and the Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us. So the church is made up of people, yes, but people who have the Spirit of God. And because of the Spirit of God in our life, we have something to minister, something to exchange. The Bible teaches that we are gifted. We don't have just natural relationships, but spiritual relationships. And we must be guarded in our hearts that we don't allow that which is holy to become common, that which is spiritual to become natural. But we want to be awake and aware that God is in our midst, that this is God's house and these are God's people and this is God's word and God's Spirit is with us. We owe it to ourselves when we come into the house of God, when we interact with other brothers and sisters, we owe it to ourselves to have an expectation that God may minister to me and God may minister through me. God may give something that will be so deeply encouraging to someone else in the church. And I need to have that expectation that Sunday morning is more than, please open your Bible and then in Jesus' name, amen. As wonderful and as crucial that is, the teaching of the Bible, but also there is our fellowship outside of that, which is so crucial and so beautiful, and we must not and we do not take that for granted. It's a beautiful and a rare thing on this planet for us to have and experience what we can and what we do in the church family. So let's say some basic truths. First of all, each Christian has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gifts each person. What does that mean? That when you became a Christian and the Holy Spirit came into your life, the Holy Spirit also has gifted you. And this is what we go to together to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look in chapter 12, and this is how Paul highlights this for us in verse 11. But the one and same Spirit works all these things. And the context here, he's speaking about the spiritual gifts. He's just listed some of them in the previous verses. And he says, all these work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes each one individually as he will. So let's make the first point. Notice the words, each one, everyone. Every one of you and I, each one of us, we have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Now, you might not know what your gift is, and that's okay. That's not the point. We're not gift hunters in that sense. The important thing is that in humility and faith and availability, you come and God will anoint you. God will help you function in your gifts for the sake of the body. But this is the first point, that every member is gifted. It's not up to us to choose what gift we have. It says that he distributes to each one as he wills. It's God's Spirit that works and gives. He does not give the same gift to everyone in a church. Although strangely, you go to some churches and it may seem as though everyone there is manifesting the same gift, but that's not according to the biblical model. The principle of the church is that there is a diversity, a difference of gifts, that we are not called to be the same. We are called and equipped spiritually to be different. And this is what Paul teaches in this passage. Not uniformity, but unity. But he also teaches diversity. Are you with me so far? Unity, but also diversity. And diversity, but also unity. How wonderful that is. We're told in this chapter earlier in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? So this results in what we call fellowship. Where there is a ministry, there is a manifestation of life between us. Now, Paul wants to illustrate. He wants to capture and illustrate and teach this incredible truth. So to do so, he looks for an example. He wants to explain the organic unity, right? You think about a car. A car is one unit and it's made of different parts, right? But it's not organic. The parts are individual, they serve a purpose and it has a function, but it's not organic. It doesn't have the same life flowing through it. If you look at a horse has different parts and it's also one whole, but it is organic. What's the difference? Life. Life. And Paul wants to demonstrate this. He wants to teach that the church is more than just a gathering of people with a common denominator, but there is a spiritual life that we have available and a spiritual life that we have to share. So to illustrate this, he says, verse 12, but as the body, and he's speaking about the human body, as the human body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So let's notice this. He uses the example of the human body with its many parts to teach us that the church is one organic whole that is made of individual living parts. And here the word member, the Greek word, literally means like a limb or an arm or a leg or any part of the body. The same word is used in James 3:5, where it speaks about the tongue is a little member. It's speaking about a living part of an organism. If someone is dismembered, they'll lose a part of their body. So, he says the same thing the other way around in the second line. All members of that body, being many, are one. So here are the two principles. There is one body with many members, and all the members of that body make up the body, but they are different. And then secondly, those individual members make up the whole. But look at the last phrase there, and this is profound. Don't miss it. He sets forth the illustration. He says, it's like the human body. Many parts, but one body. And then he says, so also is Christ. So he says to the listener, to the reader, he says, listen, do you get it? The church is like the human body. Okay. It's living. Okay. It's made of individual members, and yet it's one organic whole. Do you get it? Okay, I get it. So is it with Christ. So is it with the church. It's amazing. One body, many members. It's so easy for people to think so naturally about church. I come to church on time and I come in, I sit in my seat, and there's so-and-so over there and I know them. Oh, but all we need to be so guarded. Is it Ecclesiastes 5? I think it begins with, when you come into the house of the Lord, be so careful with each step, with each word, that you don't want to miss what is truly happening on that time. It's so important that the Holy Spirit would teach us, would give us an illumination together as a church family progressively for all our days of what the church is. Romans 12, oh, there's a diagram there just in case you need a visual. One body, many members, so also is Christ. And this principle of the church being the body is a term that Paul uses. He often doesn't say the church, but he often says the body because he's making a point. He's saying that the body is living, that there is an organic exchange that takes place, that one part of the body needs the other. It's a profound truth that's being taught, and it's echoed in other places in the New Testament. For example, Romans 12:4. He says the same, for as we have many members in our human body, and all the members do not have the same function, and here's the same words, look, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. You see, he says the same thing. He says the human body, and he says, guess what? It's the same with us. It's the same with Christ, that he is the head, and we are the body. Now, are you with me so far? Okay. Verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit, now here he's answering the question, well, how does someone become a member of the body? If I'm not part of the body, how do I become a member of the body? And this is what he says. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, unfortunately, in Christianity, there's a lot of teaching about spiritual baptism and what that means. And I'm so sorry to say that that term is misused. It's not speaking about some spiritual experience you have after you're a Christian. It's speaking about what happens or happened to you the moment that you were born again, that you were baptized into one body. That's the spiritual baptism of Ephesians 4:4. So when we were saved, we became a member of the body, and perhaps you didn't even realize what was happening, but all these incredible things happened to you, that you became a member, not like a formal membership, but an organic member of the living body of Christ. You were added to the body. Another way of terming that is that you are unified with Christ. When we have a water baptism, as we will, and the person is, we say in the name of, we baptize you, and they go under the water and they come up again. It's symbolic that they died with Christ and they live with Christ. In other words, that they were unified with Christ. They became a member of him, joined with him inseparably forever. Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. So the church is a spiritual organism. Honestly, when we understand this, when God shows us this personally, it flips how we think about church attendance and about church life. It changes the game. It's not about I go to church on a Sunday. It's something much deeper than that, much more profound than that. It's that I am spiritually gifted for the church, and the church is spiritually gifted for me. I don't want to miss that wonderful exchange and opportunity. So Ephesians 1 says it this way. This is incredible. God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. And notice he says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That verse says that the body, Jesus is the ascended head in heaven, and the Spirit descended and the body was born. He is the head and we are the body. And that verse says, the fullness of Christ on the earth is the body. And you might have some hyper-spiritual person say, oh, if Jesus was here, if Jesus was here, I'd be with him, I'd be following him, I'd be walking the dusty streets of Jerusalem and Galilee, I'd be with him. Well, guess what? He is here. The fullness of Jesus is on the earth and it's manifested through the body. So if you have some solo Christian with his ideas about his Lone Ranger Christianity, I'm sorry. That is not biblical. You need to be hidden in a local church. You need to be part of a living body. And if that's not this one, that's fine. But that's the biblical model, to be connected in a local body. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And he hammers home these truths. And now he's transitioning from the example to the real. He's speaking about the church. The church is one member, not one member, but many. Now he goes on, look at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Right, he's trying to drive home these principles. In other words, someone in the church might say, well, look, that person does this and that person has that gift, but I don't. Who am I? Am I even part of the body? And Paul is saying, don't say that. You are gifted for the church. You do a disservice to yourself, and that's dishonorary towards the truth. You are a gifted member of the body. Don't say that. Don't say, oh, I don't do anything, I don't contribute, who am I? You are gifted for the body. He repeats the same principle. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? How foolish that would be to say that. Because we understand, just like the human body, to fully function, needs the eye and needs the ear and needs the foot, so it is with Christ and his body. Each one is so valuable and irreplaceable and spiritually gifted for the church. Now, some people, when they think about church, and we understand this, and part of this is true, that we go to church for what we receive. And so we should, because we come to receive and there is a blessing and God ministers to us. We should have that expectation. But here's something else. I go to church for what I give. I go to church for what I minister. I go to church with a prepared heart, and I believe, God, you have gifted me for this season, for this hour, for this church, for this body, for this place. My gift is not for me. Your gift is not for you. We are gifted for the body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, oh, listen to those words, each one of them, each one of you, God has set the members in the body just as he pleased. Now, there's a diversity of gifts. We get that? Ear, eye, foot, right? There are many gifts. There are, you can count yourself, some say 18, some say 21 gifts listed in the scriptures. Romans 12, this passage, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. You can read there's not one comprehensive list, but together you can read all these gifts. And the Corinthian church, and sadly today, we find that there is such a narrow focus on the gifts. They don't understand the need for the diversity of gifts in the church. Some were seeking certain overt miraculous gifts. You notice that it's often the case that when people think about gifts, they are wanting a certain type of gift. You don't hear about people asking for the gift of helps, or the gift of giving, or the gift of hospitality, or the gift of intercession, or mercy, or wisdom, or serving. They're gifts. But people sadly, and it is a sad departure from what is laid out before us, that all there is a diversity of gifts. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And we find comfort in this. Look back at verse 18. He has set members as it pleased him. We are placed in the body. You are placed and gifted as it pleased him. If we were all one member, if we were all the same cookie-cutter Christians, all with the same gifts and same portion, and we learned the same language and all of that, that's not what it's about. But there are beautiful, unique portions and gifts in the church. And when they are functioning, there is an expression of the person of Christ. That through the body, there is a manifestation, a revealing of the person, the nature, the love, the serving heart of Christ, one to another in the body. We had, during COVID, when we were all at home watching the screen, we thank God for that, and there was a blessing to our hearts. But we, as time went on, we soon saw there was something missing. That we need the body. We need other members. We need to be encouraged one to another, and that is not enough. And sadly, there are still people, and perhaps I'm talking to you this morning, who are sitting at home watching this, and you are missing something so profound, so incredible, and a wonderful gift of grace to you. It's not enough for me to be behind a screen. It's not enough for me to hop from one church to another church so casually and flippantly. I believe that God will lead you, God will call you, and as that verse says, that God will place you and equip you for the work of God in the body. So, verse 20, and now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And he keeps emphasizing this wonderful point. You don't find the same life outside of the body. If a person cuts off the finger, that finger is on its own. There's no life there. The life is being connected to the body. We want to be knit into the family, woven in, receiving and serving. It's a wonderful phenomena to watch. Verse 21. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, there's an emphasis there. Not only should we not be saying that, but much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Now notice this. Those that seem to be weaker, they seem to be to the natural mind, to the natural thinking believer, it may seem that that member is not as important, or the weaker members, etc., or the uncomely members are not so important. But Paul counters that and says, don't say that. That is natural thinking. God has placed and equipped and gifted each person for a beautiful complement of what he is doing as an expression of the whole. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Oh, that's so wonderful just to say that and think of that. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And that's what makes the church a wonderful place, where we are giving honor one to another. We are recognizing and valuing and accepting and loving each person. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, and here he says it again, having given greater honor to that part that is lacking. What he's saying here, Some parts might be seen, some parts might not be seen. Some parts might be recognized to be invaluable for the church, and others it's not so obvious. But Paul is saying each one is precious and important. The eye is such an important part, right? But what about the eyelid? What about that? One is so important for the other. That there should be, verse 25, and we're coming into land here, so just stay tuned for a few minutes. I know it's warm. That there should be no schism in the body, no division, no disunity experience. Why? Because there is this understanding of the value of each one. This understanding of what God is doing on a Sunday morning or any time we gather at a function, at a small group, in someone's home, whatever it might be, that there is something beautiful there. Listen to this. The sum of the body is more than the individual parts. You understand that? The sum of the body is more than the individual parts. When the individual parts are organically grafted together and the Spirit is flowing and quickening and gifting, there is something that is given that is way beyond us as individual parts or members. That's why we could call this wonderful phenomena of church life or fellowship, we could call it body life. And there is such a need for body life in Christianity. There is a need for teaching and an understanding of grace, etc., and also an understanding of body life. Oh, it has been so lost through the church ages of what it means to be part of a local church and to be a member in particular of the body of Christ. This is why we are, it says in the next verse here, you are the body of Christ. Oh, sorry. 25, yeah, there should be no schism, but the members shall have the same care for one another. There it is, same care, not partiality, but the same care one for another. And verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, don't you love that? When one member suffers, we suffer also in our hearts with empathy and prayer and love. And when one is honored, we rejoice. And I love that in the church when we publicly honor someone. And we say, yes, I love that. Yes. If in my heart I'm saying, hey, why is that? Then that's a problem. That is a problem. If you sense that in your heart, I'm sorry, you need to take that to God. Honoring people with love and publicly like that, that's an expression of Christ's love and his heart towards one another. Verse 27, as we close. Now you are the body of Christ. Wow. You are the body of Christ and members individually. It's an incredible principle. Ephesians 4:16, it says that every joint, every part, every ligament supplies. You are a part of the body that supplies. So as we sum up, what is body life? What is body life? Where there is unity, but also diversity, and diversity, but also unity, and a life that flows to us and through us and to each other. Where every part is needed, every part is contributing. And we are under the directives of the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Gathering with believers, expecting to have body life. And I love seeing that, beginning to see people being integrated and woven into the body of Christ, woven into the family, finding their place, being available, living by faith, and allowing God to quicken you and use you according to your gifts for the body. It's possible I can be a part of the body, but not experience body life, right? It's possible that I'm actually born again and I'm actually part of Christ. I'd be unified with him. I have the Spirit in me, but I'm not experiencing body life. But this is why we're gathered this morning. This is why we draw near when we can. Where is the body? Where is Jesus speaking? Where is he ministering life? I want to draw near to see that. Amen? So, Father, we pray together this morning. We thank you for this simple but also profound truth of the organic life, spiritually organic life of the body of Christ. We do pray, oh, please teach us progressively again and again. Give us personal understandings of what it means to be part of you. The Bible actually says that we are made members of one another. How amazing that is, for we are all in Christ. We thank you that when we first became Christians, that your Spirit came to dwell in us, that you saved us, you baptized us into Christ. Perhaps there's one here this morning, perhaps you're visiting, perhaps you're watching online, and in this moment, oh, put your faith in Christ. For he is the Savior. There is no other Savior but Jesus. We were made to have a spiritual life as well as a physical life. We were made to know God, to walk with him, to have fellowship with him and with one another. Oh, in your heart, say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my personal Savior. Lead me and guide me and answer me. I pray in Jesus' name. We pray for each one here, for your blessing upon us as we go. We pray for the next couple of weeks following. We pray for you to continue to bless and to build your body, to draw people, to minister, to do your work that only you can do. Oh, but you will use us as we avail ourselves to you. We pray. Bless us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.